Okay, let us proceed. We continue the Rambam Hilchos Shkagos Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav. Okay, another incident. We're not dealing with Korbanos on Pesach anymore. We're also dealing with public communal offerings where a mistake was made when you bring the Korban Chatas or not. Hayilafan of Shtei Behemah Shel Tzibur. There's two animals that belong to the community. Okay, they're communal animals. We're speaking a case of Shabbos now. We're going to have to bring some communal offerings on Shabbos. Okay, here's the catch. Achas kechusha, one is a very scrawny animal. V'achas shmeina, one's a fat, robust animal. Now, what had to be done that day, what was left to be done, and he got two public animals at my disposal, and there was still an obligation for the communal offerings between one of these two animals, bein chattas, whether to bring a regular korban chattas that is brought for the communal offerings, let's say on Rosh Chodesh that comes out on Shabbos, or Shabbos that comes out on Chol HaMoed, that you bring a sa'ir, you bring a goat for a chattas, that's just in general, that's part of the yontif offerings. It's not doing anybody's sins in particular. It's a general communal korban chattas. Either that had to be brought, bein ola, or a burnt offering had to be brought, that you bring on Shabbos many olos that are tamidim and musafim. So let's say you finish bringing all the olos you had to bring for that yontif, or whatever, and there's only one animal left to be brought to finish the public korbanos. That's the situation, okay? Either a chatas or an ola. And you got two communal animals that are at our disposal, one of the two to use. One is a scrawny one, and one is a robust one.
Oh, come on.
Now, before we begin anything, what are you supposed to do?
What's
the halacha say?
The best.
The halacha says you bring a good one, you don't bring a bad one. Yes. There's psukim that say, would you bring to your kings animals that weren't so good? Right? So you have to bring the best one. Now, here's the catch. If you don't have any better animals, if all you got in the community is a scrawny animal,
okay,
you bring the scrawny animal, it's kosher. But if you got in front of you a scrawny one and a robust one, it's like slapping God in the face. And saying, you know, I got this great robust one, but we're going to give you the scrawny one.
Oh, come on.
So then that offering is puzzle. It's like doesn't count. It's like that's how insulting it is. Because we're talking about they're right in front of you.
It's just a nice way of doing it. It's like,
now, if again, if there's nothing else, okay, mail it is nothing else. Okay. But, okay, so that's the scenario here. Okay. So now, to compound the problem, there's also how many ounces he's supposed to bring? There's only one animal left to bring, I said. Remember? There's only one communal animal left that has to be. That's how I set up the scenario.
Yeah.
That's the round I'm speaking in that case, where there's one korban left to be brought.
Okay.
One scrawny, one robust. What should have happened is you bring the robust animal finished. But of course, no one wouldn't have any halachas then. So what happens is he did the following. Veshagag, and by mistake, shachad hashtaim. He brings both animals for the one that's left. Now, we kind of touched on that yesterday when you're bringing two korban tumids for the one korban tumid. But this we're making a few wrinkles in the case over here. So now let's think about what's going on over here. So is he going to, a number of questions. Is he going to fulfill his mitzvah, A, of the general, the one korban that he brought? Well, that would seem most likely, okay. But will he have to bring a korban chattas for shechting, for the shogeg of shechting an extra animal that wasn't needed to be brought? Remember, you only bring a korban that's an obligatory animal. You had to bring one animal, and now he brought two. So the second one is not going to be a necessary animal. You shecht an animal on Shabbos unnecessarily. Remember, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. So there's clearly an opportunity to bring a korban chatas over here because of the shogig of bringing an animal that's not necessary. So now what's going to be? It's going to depend on which animal he brings first. Did he bring the scrawny animal first? Or did he bring the robust animal first?
The scrawny one first, and he had to do the next one.
Oh, so this is what it is. Im shachat kechusha betchila, if he slaughtered the scrawny one first. And when you scrawny the first, when you bring the first one that's scrawny, that is not a valid offering.
It's already disqualified.
Okay, now, you're not going to bring a korban chatas for that. It's called a failed attempt. Okay, it's not an unnecessary.
Wow.
It's a failed attempt.
That's bad.
And then shachar hashmena he shechs, the robust one. So in that case specifically, potter mi korban chatas. He's not going to bring a korban chatas. Why? Because since the first one he brought was pasul,
yeah.
So he has to bring the second one. So here it's not bringing an extra one. It's no different than, let's say, you bring a korban for the last korban, tamid, whatever, and you messed up on the shechita. You just messed up on the shechita. So what do you got to do? I got to bring another animal. So here, he did not bring the proper animal, and therefore, so he has to still bring the second animal, and the second animal is the obligatory animal to be brought, and therefore, no korban chatas. But now he goes further. Below, not only that, let's pick it up. Let's say right after he shechted the scrawny one. And now he looks at everyone and says, what am I supposed to do now? The first case, I said he shechted both, scrawny and fat.
Ask no questions, so he just did.
But now he shechted the scrawny one. So, what do I do now? Well, guess what we're going to tell him? Yeah. We're going to tell him, El Shomimlo, Have Shmeina, go shech the fat one now.
Yeah.
Initially shecht it because the first one wasn't yotze at all. All right, that's if you did the scrawny one first. But what if he shechted the robust one first? And now clearly the obligation has been fulfilled.
That's it, we're done.
And then he brings the scrawny one afterwards. Mm-hmm. Then chayev chatas ala tosefes. Now he has to bring a chatas on the second one because that was totally not necessary. There's no mitzvah at all involved. And he shechted an animal totally for no purpose after on Shabbos, which is not allowed.
So Rabbi, in the case where he brings the scrawny one first, is he doing tshuva by bringing the other one in?
He didn't do no tshuva, he didn't know nothing. We don't care what he thought. He thought he wanted to bring two animals. Whatever, doesn't matter.
I'm saying when he was told the scrawny one's no good, bring another one.
Well, that's the second case. That's the second case. It's not doing tshuva, it's just doing what should be done correctly.
Did he get karis for bringing the scrawny and left the
No,
other
it's just an invalid korban. Just an invalid korban. What if you do things?
If he didn't bring the fat one after he brought the skinny one?
Well, still, it's an invalid korban, and the tzibur needs a korban.
Okay.
The tzibur needs to have another korban brought.
Okay.
He just did an invalid sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's an invalid sacrifice. Okay,
he
now
did an invalid sacrifice on Shabbos.
He did.
There's no punishment.
He did. It was a proper shechita. It was a proper shechita, but the problem was, it was a technical problem. He didn't bring the nicest one he should have brought. All right? So therefore, the korban was pasul. So just like anything, you bring it's pasul was pasul. Okay, now.
So you're not saying he made a mistake or anything?
I don't know. I don't have any more information to...
I meant to do it for that one. Mm-hmm. Therefore,
he only thought one thing. I'm going to bring two korbanos, which was not the right thing to do.
Period.
Okay, and he brings the weak one, another one. He may not have known about the weak one. He may not have known that halacha, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't.
Even bringing two is a mistake.
Okay, but not if the first one was the scrawny one, because now you need the second one. That's how he saves himself through the back door. Okay, now we're going to make it a little trickier now. Same scenario. We're going to add one more variable. Nimsas harishona hashmeno. Okay, let's say the first one you slaughtered. Remember, he does two in a row without asking questions. Now, the first one is a robust one. So we said, well, normally that means you'd be chayv achatas on the second one. But with one more point, but the shmeina, they find out later, he shechs the frass animal, he shechs the scrawny animal, one after the other. Okay, then they check the animals to process the animal. They look at the robust one, and they see there's a trefa inside the stomach of the first animal. Okay, so now nimza sarishona hashmeina trefa b'mnei. If you find it subsequently that the first robust one you shechted for the public had a trefa in the intestines, which you couldn't know when you shechted, afli sheyoda she trefa b'eisha sharusha, and he didn't know that the first one, the robust one, was trefa as he shechted the second one. Only after shechting robust, followed by skirani, and then after the scrawny, now we check the robust and find out that the robust was no good. Velola zeniskaven. He wasn't intending, oh, I messed up on the robust one, and now I'm bringing scrawny because it's the one I have left, which I then could bring, right?
But he didn't have that
kavan. But ho, v'nishchata achrona mitzvah. The bottom line, we always, what's the bottom line? Okay. Bottom line, the second animal was a completely kosher one. Why? Because the first one was puzzled through no fault of anybody's.
No.
And if you'd have, even if he would have asked us what to do, we'd say slaughtered now the skinny one because that's the only one you got left. Hareza poter mechatas, he doesn't have to bring a katas. So we have two examples where the guy lucks out, as it were. That's right, exactly. Okay, now the Rambam shifts, like totally shifts. I don't really see the connection here. But of another case of shogeg, but it has nothing to do with a korban or anything.
Well,
we're talking about fishermen now. Okay, now, are you allowed to catch fish on Shabbos?
Absolutely not.
Can you take a net and from your boat
trash.
And spread it
trash.
Out into water and catch 50 salmon?
No.
You can't do that at all.
No.
Okay, what if a baby is drowning in the ocean? Can you take a net and throw it to save the baby? Okay, fine. So what if you're a fisherman and you didn't think that you're allowed to, you thought you could fish on Shabbos, you cast a net and you bring up 50 salmon and there happened to have been a baby that was drowning that you have no knowledge of that comes up. That's the case. Now, I don't know why the Rambam says v'chein and also.
That's
maybe the similarity only is that he lucks out. Maybe that's
definitely
the only connection, because one is korbanos and one is a baby, right?
Yes,
a guy goes and spreads nets out on Shabbos. Bishogi, because he thought you're allowed to fish on Shabbos. And then what happens is he brings up the net. You bring up a little baby with a bunch of fish. So, whether he knew that the baby was drowning, whether he did not know about this, and he only had intention to fish. That's it. Ho, the helatinak, since he brought up a baby, hareza potter mechatas, he's potter from the chatas afa, even though his intention was only
to trap.
Why? Mipnei shehoya shogeg. In other words, what he means to say over here is, even though he did not intend on saving the baby, but since he did it as a shogeg and he didn't know today was Shabbos, so in the process of saving the kid's life, it would be okay. Now, I don't know. The Rambam doesn't tell us more. But what would happen if he knew it was usher to do? Well, then there'd be no issue bringing a korban chatas anyway.
Yeah.
That's the point.
You
in other words,
if
you intended to do it, there's nothing
chattis.
To talk about a korban chatas.
Finish.
But here, you didn't intend on doing it. So really, you didn't know it was usher. You really were trapping fish. Let's be honest. You did trap fish.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got a secondary thing that makes it what your action really was, saving a baby, even though you didn't know. And that's the similarity when you shechted the two animals. You know that's wrong. It was wrong to shecht two animals, but you lucked out that one was a trefa or whatever. So then you luck out in not bringing
the
baby.
That's not a common.
It's not lucking out.
It's not
yep, 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 yep.
But I'm
going
to say maybe like opposite this morning, contrary to this morning, you know, we're saying here, he had no intent to save a baby. He had no clue there was a baby there.
Right, but
yet we're giving him off the hook because he saved the baby, but he had no intent to save a baby.
That's correct.
Yes,
but then again, it's not an
So intent doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in this case.
Well, yeah. Well, we were learning before in the morning, we're talking about if mitzvahs need kavana.
Yeah, that's
but here, the whole issue here is there's no kavanah at all because we're talking about shogeg to begin with. Okay, the final halacha brings us back to Hilchos Pesach. Tezai mishay lefanu v'leili ha-pesach tzoli shel Pesach v'nosar min ha-kotchim. Okay, let's say it's the night of Pesach and you're at the table and you got two pieces of meat in front of you. One is a nice piece of roasted korban Pesach that you have a mitzvah to be eating tonight. And it happens to be also a piece of nosar from the day before of an old korban you had. And if you eat nosar, a pishogeg, you're chayav achatas. Okay, so now, of course, what do you think he wanted to eat at the Seder?
He wanted to eat the
korban pesach. He's intending on eating the roasted meat, which is a mitzvah. Remember, we started this chapter by saying that if you're intending to do a mitzvah and you do an aver in the process of trying to do a mitzvah, we say you don't bring a korban chatas, right? Vishaga makes a mistake for ochel hanoisar. Oh, wait a minute. But now he eats the nosar. Harei chayav chatas, he's chayav chatas. Why? Because at the end of the day, there's no mitzvah done with this eating. The cases before where we said when you did a shogeg aver with the mitzvah, it, while you were doing the mitzvah, remember Yibum, he did Yibum. At the end of the day, he did do a successful Yibum with his sister-in-law. Of course, she was Anita as well. But you don't bring the korban chatas because he did accomplish a mitzvah. So even though he wanted to do a mitzvah, but he clearly did not do a mitzvah,
therefore
you have to bring the korban chatas. So the moral of the story is that tomorrow, Friday night, do not bring any chalif to your seder.
Don't
even bring a korban pesach. Okay, moving on to chapter three. Yeah,
it wouldn't make a difference if he ate the first piece of meat and someone said that's nosar.
Obviously.
Then he has to eat the second piece because he still has to eat the korban pesach.
I hope so.
Is that similar to this other case with the lean and the fat?
Well, he certainly has to eat korban pesach.
Right, so then he has to eat the second one, but that doesn't fix
but
up.
But it still
has
to fix up.
So he brings a korban chatas after yontif.
Yeah.
Right. He has to still do his mitzvah. Right. Okay, now we're going to have some interesting...
And, sorry, one more thing. So that means he can't... If he has no idea how to identify them, he can't eat both. So basically, he has to eat neither.
So that's a really interesting shaila. I wouldn't know what the answer is.
Right.
If you don't eat a korban pesach, you get karis. If you eat nosar, you get karis.
Yeah,
see, it's a often hard place,
right?
It's
so
really
generally,
you have to ask a shaila.
Sheval tase.
Yeah.
Generally,
I guess you have to throw them both out and hopefully get another piece of korban pesach.
Yeah, it will not be a good situation. Okay, moving on.
I wouldn't advise.
To now a case where we're going to discuss where there are witnesses who saw a person do an aveira, and they didn't warn him.
Well, they didn't.
And the question now is, could their testimony require him to bring a korban chatas or not? Okay, we will see. Aleph. Mi sheidu alav edim. Two witnesses or more testify the following in a court. Shechata, that this guy sinned unintentionally. Now, that's interesting. We'd have to craft a scenario exactly. How do they know he did it unintentionally? All right? Maybe they assume he's a chash of a rabbi and he would never, the mazi, do such a thing, whatever. But they go to the court and they say, we saw this guy, whatever, he did this avera b'shogeg. Okay? Chet shechalav chatas kavua. And the what you would bring be a regular korban chatas. Below history, and they didn't warn him. Because if they warned him, then for sure it would be amazing.
Yeah.
He doesn't bring a chatas. They said, don't do this, and he did it.
It's a death penalty.
Well, then, that's... And so, well, why? I thought you could do it. No, that's what the warning's all about. No, I guess I'm telling you now, you weren't in school that day. You can't do that. Now if he does, it's amazing. So they didn't warn him. They saw the guy do it, and they maintained he was a shogeg. And therefore, they're testifying that he'd have to bring a korban chatas. Now, what's his response? Listen carefully to the wording, precisely what he's saying, and not a word more or less. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. But they said the following. This is what the witnesses said. Re'inucha, we saw. Shasisa malacha b'shabbos. You did a malacha on Shabbos. B'shogeg. Oh, shachalta chelev. You ate chelev, and you didn't know it was chelev. Okay, now how they would know that, That's a good question. Rambam doesn't explore that. We'll just assume that they thought that way. Fine. V'omer, and he responds precisely the following. Eini yodea, ani yodea, I know, bavadei, certainly, shelo asisi, I did not do, dovar ze, this thing, as you say. After leg that sue. You're going to see in a minute why I'm being so specific about this. You'll see in a minute. Right? In that case, ain't a chai of chattas. He's not chai of chattas, which is fascinating. We'll have to explain. What do you mean? These two witnesses testify that he did it. Right? So what do we care that you're disagreeing? We go with what the two witnesses have to say.
100%.
But the way it was worded, he's not really disagreeing with them. We can parse the words and see he's not really disagreeing with them. We'll see it. We'll see what it means. Okay. Hoel, since the Imyomar, if he would have said, now that's not what it really means in the Rama. I'll have to explain it in a minute more. But let's say he would have said, Mazides, I did it intentionally. You thought I was unintentional. No, I knew it was Shabbos. I knew it was us. I did it anyway.
Now he's punter.
Now, what's the halach if he would say that?
He's punter.
You punter mean a korban. Doesn't mean a korban. He's not a nice guy, but he doesn't have to bring a korban.
Exactly.
So therefore, so if he would have said now, that's not what he said. But if he would have, if he would have turned around and you know, if he'd say that, he wouldn't bring a korban chatas.
Because the witnesses.
So now, kishamim. So when he says to them, what did he say? Lo achalti velo asisi. I didn't eat or I didn't do.
As you say, this thing,
and what the thing that you say, Nasa Komer, we can interpret his words to mean to say lo achalti vishkaga elabazadin. I didn't eat it unintentionally, but I ate it intentionally. Okay, now the commentaries explain. Because what's very important over here, well, he finished, he didn't contradict the witnesses. That's the important point, as we'll see. Because if he's going to contradict the witnesses, we cannot believe him over the witnesses.
Right.
Two witnesses always win. But if what he says is ambiguous enough that what he's saying is not contradicting what the witnesses say, but he still would not have to bring a korban, then he doesn't bring the korban. Now, the commentary says this does not work like, for example, like a migu. Migu, it does not work like a migu. Migu sometimes means, well, I said this. If I wanted to lie, I could have lied better. But that won't work over here because we have to know what he exactly says. So he means to say, you know, when I said I didn't eat, You know, it could mean that I didn't eat bishogeg or bemezid, okay? But I'm not, I'm just saying, I wasn't exactly as you said. So now you said you saw me eating. Okay, so I'm not saying I wasn't eating, but you don't really know how I was eating. So it's not exactly as you said. But let's see, he contradicts the witnesses and said, I didn't eat it bishogeg, I didn't eat it bemezid.
Now he didn't believe the witnesses.
I didn't eat it.
He believed the witnesses.
Now he brings the korban chatas. Because you will not believe the person against the witness. The witness says, we saw him eat it bishogeg. And the guy says, I didn't eat it, period. Well, we're not going to believe you because there's two witnesses. But when the two witnesses says we saw him eat it bishogeg, so he says, listen, I didn't eat it the way you said it. Okay, so now that's open for interpretation. So I'm not really arguing. And really, it's hard. How can they be 100% sure it was shogeg? Right? How can they be 100% sure?
Nobody knows for sure.
They can say, well, we assumed he didn't know because we didn't warn him. But it could be the guy did it bemezid. So therefore, so it doesn't work as amigo, but it works as it's not what you're saying isn't enough to make him bring a chatas because in his wording, now this the Rambam leaves open, well, what if we would further explore?
Yeah, wouldn't the judges ask the
then
questions?
We would go on. But if they'd further explore and he'd say, well, no, I ate it, but I ate it bemezid, then he still wouldn't bring a korban chatas.
Right, but he'd be coupled.
That's the point. In other words, there's only so far the witnesses can really be believed. They can be believed to say he ate. That's for sure true. They're assuming it was shogeg. So if the guy would say, yep, I was shogeg.
He can't be witnesses to his intention.
That's right. Now, you could be witnesses to mazid if you tell him,
right,
and he hears it and does it, then you know he was mazid.
Right,
if he just saw him do it, so their assumption is he did it b'shogeg, which is not unreasonable because most Jews aren't blatant sinners.
Right.
So they're assuming it's shogeg. And the guy says, well, it's not exactly as you said. It doesn't mean to say I deny doing it. That's the point the Rambam's making. If he would have denied eating it, then he'd have to bring the korban machatas. He's not believed at all.
Yeah.
But if he said it's not as you said, okay, that means it could be a little bit different. But I'm not denying what they're saying. Because I could be, I did it amazing. So therefore, he doesn't bring the korban chatas.
They didn't warn him.
So they didn't. They just saw it.
Why would they have to bring anything if they didn't warn him?
Because a guy has to bring korban chatas. He doesn't have to show
me.
Let's say I see, Shelley, let's say me and Ron see you eating a Big Mac at a distance. We're too far to warn you.
I
looked at Ron and said, see what Shelley did? It's crazy. What's going on? Must be he thought it was a kosher one in Israel,
yeah,
whatever. You know, so we go to court and say, Shelley, you're a very good Jew, and of course you want to do the right thing.
Good.
And you probably didn't know, but you ate Peshogeg, Trey food. So now, so for your benefit, you should bring a korban chatas, shouldn't you?
Okay, but, you're sure. But like this guy says, I did it intentionally.
Oh, that's
now,
then he
didn't warn me.
Then he doesn't bring a korban chatas.
First, he draws a death penalty. Okay, that's right.
No, you're going to get kares, not the death penalty.
Well, it depends. If it's Shabbos, he gets a death penalty.
Not if they didn't warn him.
Right. I mean, if he doesn't get.
They didn't warn him. He can get kares.
He
can get kares.
He can get kares if they didn't warn him.
Yes.
No, that's the only way you get kares.
If you intentionally, if you know it's Shabbos and you expressly desecrate the Shabbos, even without witnesses, you get kares. Witnesses kill you.
So, which is worse?
Sure. I don't know. Neither one's too good.
No, but that's not relevant.
It's not relevant. Let's put it this way. Kares, you can do tshuva and still be alive afterwards.
Yes.
Death penalty, you can do tshuva and be dead afterwards.
You're still dead afterwards.
All right, but the only issue is we'd like to give the guy atonement. We're his friends. He probably didn't realize it was us or on Shabbos.
No,
so we're testifying, and he brings a korban chatas. And he says, well, I'll tell you, it's not exactly like you said, guys. I admit I did it, but not necessarily shogeg. And therefore, since it could be mazid, then he doesn't bring the korban.
I kind of like the migu because I thought he could say, migu is
when I say something and you should believe me because if I wanted to lie, I could
lie.
But that's...
On the same note, he could say, if I said I did it intentionally, I'd be off the hook. You didn't warn me. So since
you're not off the hook, you got Karis. Karis is not off the hook. Karis is still pretty severe. You're not off the hook, Shelley.
Okay.
I did it potentially. I get Karis.
Okay, let's do one more halacha. I want to do one more halacha because it goes together with this, and we're not going to be looking at this for a week, so it's not long. Base. So let's say the same thing, but a different response from him. Two witnesses say this, but Shasek, the guy is silent. He does not discredit the witnesses.
Oh.
He doesn't say anything.
Nothing.
And it could be one witness, two witnesses, and he goes,
Okay.
And now, how far does this go? Afilu amal isha, even if a woman says she saw him do it, which normally a woman is not a good witness.
No.
If she says, for example, ochal to chelev, you ate chelev. Unintentionally. Oh, asis samalacha b'shabbos, you did work on Shabbos. Unintentionally. V'shasak, and it was quiet. Chayiv lahavi chatnis. He has to bring a chayiv chatnis. Why? Because aid echad nemen beisurim. One witness is believed in Isser.
Right.
And this is a case of Isser. Not to kill him.
No.
Couldn't kill him. But it's an Isser. You did an Isser. And now let's take it a step further. Amar lo aid echad. Let's say one witness says to the guy before he does anything, chelevu. I want you to know this is a piece of chelev. Don't eat it. Okay. 20 minutes passed. The guy forgot what he told him. Vishasak, and he was quiet. One second. He didn't disagree with the witness. He said, okay, it's chelev, fine. Then he forgot. 20 minutes later, he goes back to the table. He forgot what the witness told him. Vachazavachos, now he eats a peshoigig.
Trying to take his medication.
Okay, now does he bring a korban chatas? Yes, maybe chatas. He brings a chatas. Because again, it was an aid echad neman be'isurim.
The one witness said it's aser. We believe one witness to say that a piece of meat is treif. Yeah. So now the fact is, based on that testimony, one witness, the guy brings a korban chatas, but that's fine. Let's take it a step further now. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have the one witness who told him it's a piece of chelev. He said, fine. He didn't argue. Mm-hmm. Then 20 minutes pass, and, you know, forgot about whatever. And now he's about to eat this same piece of meat. And now two witnesses come along and warn him, say, hey, don't you remember the guy told you 20 minutes ago it was a piece of chelev? Because I don't care. I'm eating it anyway. Now two witnesses come as they see him eating it and say, you know, don't you remember so-and-so said it was a piece of chelev? And he eats it. Like a love, he gets lashed. Yeah. Like a guy who eats chelev with a warning that the halacha is lashed. You know, the main principle of the whole testimony started with the first witness. Yeah. But remember, the first witness, all he did was to say this was a piece of chelev. That witness is not believed to give him lashes.
Nope.
He's believed to say this is chelev. That's as far as his believability is. That's iser. He's believed. The next two witnesses, based on the fact we believe the first witness is usher, now the next two witnesses can get him lashed, even though it's based on what the first witnesses said. Okay, shkoyach, guys. Amen.